Hello, everyone. Coming up, Toy Story 4 was the most successful movie this weekend, but was it really successful? The Simpsons will have a presence at the D23 Expo this August, and we're going to discuss attractions we feel are overlooked and or underappreciated. So, live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is The Diz Unplugged, episode 1038 for the week of June 25th, 2019. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel.
Easy
I'm sorry
for you to
for
say.
Buffering up your business.
There you go. My business?
Our business. Let them help you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And also by disboards.com, an invaluable resource to help you plan and discuss your Disney vacations. You can visit disboards.com and join in on the discussion today. Hello, everyone. I am Craig Williams, hosting today. This will also be my last episode, apparently, because I don't think the person sitting to my right will let me do this ever again. So I wish I was kidding. But so, yes, I'm Craig Williams. I'm hosting in lieu of Pete, who is busy doing a million other things.
Take a breath.
You just said
I'm today.
I'm today. Did I?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. I am today. I'm here today. And I'm sitting in for Pete, who is busy doing a million things that I don't believe we've announced yet at this point. So I'm not going to be the one to do that. And eventually you'll find out. But we'll get through this anyways with me. And I today am... Why do I keep saying today? Today I am joined alongside... with John Magi.
I'm tomorrow.
Kevin Close.
Christmas is 6 months from today.
Okay. Our special guest, Philip Kelly.
Hello.
And then Corey Martin and other special guests.
We're Sarah just happy Martin. To be here.
And then back on the controls, Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Okay, so that was a rough start, but I feel like it can only go up from there.
No, I've been part of these before. It can get much, much worse.
Yeah, it can get much worse, but I don't think we're going to let it get too much worse. We'll have to see what happens, though. It can always just
I'm on the
go
edge
off the
of my
rails.
Chair.
Because you're ready to leave. And I mean, after that start, basically, I am too. But I feel like people want a show, so we're going to have to still deliver it anyways. And unfortunately, I'm just going to be the one to do that. So I already discussed Pete today. I do have about two other things to talk about in housekeeping. But I'm going to open up to everyone else first to see if there's any other housekeeping.
All right, I will go. I want to talk to you about the 20th anniversary event coming up in August. Hopefully, a lot of you have signed up and are coming to join us to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Dreams Unlimited Travel. Many of you have been anxious to hear what our individual events were going to be, and we have listed those on the Disboards, the first post in the thread about our meet. You'll be able to go through and see most of the events now. We're still planning some, so some will be added. I want to let folks know that I am working on sign-up forms and the sign-up process, so it's going to take me a little while to get it complete. So please bear with me. Please have some patience. But as soon as it's done, we will start taking sign-ups. Everyone is going to get advance notification of when signups will begin, so it's not a surprise. We've already said this on a past show. Patreon supporters will get an early chance to sign up for events. What we've decided is that Patreon subscribers will get access to half of the inventory of each event, and then that event will close, and then we'll open it up to everybody else so everybody has a fair shake at signing up for the individual events. I'm excited. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of cool stuff. I know these guys are all working on stuff as well. So hopefully we'll have some more events to announce.
And just tagging on there at the end about Patreon, you have until this Saturday, if you wanted to be a member, to get in to be a part of that early sign-up system that John was just describing there. You have to be an active member at the time of this registration, as well as during the party, obviously. The only way to know that you're active and you're new is you have to be charged for that first month, and that charging goes through over the weekend. So
I just want to answer a question. Folks have said, does it matter what tier sponsorship you have?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I believe if you miss out on that, Rhino will also be posting a link to his Amazon wish list, and whoever buys him the nicest stuff from that,
what they else will is actually. So,
I could be wrong, but
this isn't unusual. We belong to the Dr. Phillips Center here in Orlando, and if I donate money, I get access to tickets before everybody else.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what tier you're in. There will be an event for all of our Patreon supporters at one point, and then if you are in that top tier category, we're working on maybe something for them as well. But
so you've got separate events you're working on just for Patreon supporters.
Yes,
during the main event.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we have a meetup for everybody who is currently, has been, or will be a supporter at the time of the event. And then obviously we did something like this during our 20 years of the Disney. Yeah. We enjoyed it so much that we wanted to do something again. So, yeah, that's that.
I also want to point out to folks, these individual events are not going to be your only opportunity to meet the team.
No.
Yeah. We're going to be around the whole week. We're going to be in the auction room, and we're going to have a live show, and we're going to be at the party. So don't want you to feel like your only chance to meet us is at these individual events. There's going to be plenty of opportunities.
Yep.
For Rhino to make a fool of himself.
Oh, we talked about a fun one right before the show started. There'll be plenty of foolish antics.
Yeah, no, I look forward to it. I like sitting in the auction room. That was my favorite part last year, just giving Teresa crap the entire day, making her life harder, and then meeting everyone, too. You can't go wrong with that at all. So,
all right, that's it for me.
Thank you, John. Anyone else? No?
Well, I want to introduce Ferris. The other day, I had a meeting with Pete, and Ferris got dressed, and he had a little phone with him. He wanted to come to work with me, so he's here today. Say hi, Ferris. No?
No.
No? Okay.
He's watching himself on the camera. I love it.
Yeah. Listen, when we start talking about Toy Story 4, he's going to light up. He's going to have stuff to say, and we're going to let him talk about it as much as he wants.
Yep.
Or as little. So we'll just have to see what happens when we get
like
there.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah. Okay, so the next thing I need to talk about is sent over from our very own Steve Porter, and it is to help plug a Give Kids the World special series that's happening. It's a speaker series, and tickets are on sale for this now, and you can get these tickets by going to gktw.org/1955.
Who are the speakers?
Numbers. Well, why don't I just break that down for you? So the first event will feature Tom Nabel, Bill Sullivan, and Bill Holscher on July 17th at 7 p.m. Tickets for this first night range from $35 to $50. Tom Nabel is a Disney legend who began his career as a newspaper boy on Main Street, but thanks to the regular pestering of Walt Disney, quickly snagged the role of Tom Sawyer on Tom Sawyer's Island. Later in life, he went on to help with the Epcot project, and he oversaw the opening of a variety of attractions at the Magic Kingdom. Bill Sullivan spent almost 40 years with the company, starting as a ticket taker on the Jungle Cruise in 1955 and ending his career as vice president of the Magic Kingdom in 1994. And Bill Holscher, usually that's backwards, started working in Disneyland in 1955 and went on to serve as manager of the Preview Center for Walt Disney World, manager of ticket sales, guest relations, outdoor recreation, the Fort Wilderness Campground. He would later be a manager of Disney University, director of resort operations, and manager of cast activities. The second speaker series will feature Paige O'Hara and Linda Larkin on August 3rd at 8:30 p.m. Tickets for the night with Paige O'Hara and Linda Larkin cost between $50 and $150. The upper tier that costs $150 includes a meet and greet with Paige and Linda. Obviously, Paige O'Hara was the voice of Belle, and Linda Larkin was the voice of Jasmine, and all proceeds go directly towards Give Kids the World.
What date is that?
August 3rd for the second one, July 17th for the first one.
Do we know if that's a speaker, or is she going? They going to sing?
I do not know that one. I cannot tell you the answer to that. I would hope that they would
at least
give like 16 bars each.
And what's the URL again?
Kevin, sign up.
gktw.org/1955 to be precise. So, and maybe you'll be able to give us more information after that. But very cool. If you want to help support Give Kids the World, you're in town over those times, look into it. It might be an event that you are very interested in or not. We'll have to see. Anyways, let's continue moving on with my last piece of housekeeping now, and that is that I need to finally introduce properly Philip, who you might remember from the introductions that we did about 5 minutes ago before this ran off the rails. And
it ran off the rails well before that.
You're absolutely right. It did that. So if you might remember, I believe it was Halloween and then Christmas in 2018, we had some very well-produced videos put out that were overviews of the parties, and Philip was actually the guy behind that. We've talked about him on the show, but he hasn't made an appearance yet. And then also, if you're a fan of the Moving to Orlando series that we've been continuously putting out now since November, if you're wondering where those overview videos of the different areas that we focus on, where those come from, those are also some of the work that Philip has done for us, and they're all amazing. He's just a wildly talented videographer, and we're happy to have him here, but I'm going to let him talk a little bit more about who he is, what he likes about Disney, and we've also mentioned before in the past the work that he does kind of on, well, it's his job. He does stuff for us on the side, and then he has his own thing, so we'll let him talk about that. So, Philip, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, very excited. So, who are you? Why are you here?
So I'm Philip Kelly, and my wife and I just moved to Orlando last year. We both grew up loving Disney. We went to the parks a whole bunch with our families over the years, and originally we actually just moved here because we wanted to be closer to Disney. Yeah. We loved it so much. And then after that, after we got here, things just kind of happened by accident. We ended up making a couple videos with friends, and then it just snowballed into what we do now, which is videos, photos for families, couples, friends, whoever it might be, that are on their vacations, enjoying the parks, whatever the case is.
Yeah, that's awesome. And where can they find out more about that?
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram at HeyTeamKelly, and then our website is HeyTeamKelly.com. You can check out a whole bunch of our work and see exactly what we do.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, if you remember back to those videos that we showed, and we've even showcased one of the videos he had did for a family on the show. I can't remember how long ago it was, but chances are if you watch every week, you probably remember it all, and it's just spectacular stuff. So if you're interested, look into it, like everything we do. So
and then also I forgot that also with the code DIS10, you can save 10% off your booking as well. So DIS10.
That is important.
Rhino loves a coupon.
I do love coupons, and I am a big fan of your work.
Nice. All right.
That's about the answer I give, too.
All of a sudden, you turn into Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper.
Welcome to Life with Rhino. Absolutely love every little bit of it. So, yeah, no, very excited to have you here today. And remember, what was that code again? I already forgot it.
DIS10.
Yeah. Wow. That should be a lot easier to remember, shouldn't it?
Really? It's not like Dreams Unlimited Travel or anything like that.
What is this Dreams Unlimited Travel you talk about? Really? Not quite sure.
It's John's business. Leave him alone.
Trust me, I'm going to be beat up about it all night when I come home and start yelling at Kylie about how I screwed up Dreams Unlimited Travel today. But if John didn't, John doesn't watch our other shows, he'd know that that happens way too often.
I just keep saying Dreams Unlimited Travel. I'm okay with it.
I get tongue-tied on it. It's really difficult for me to do. But, okay, I think that's enough of this foolishness. So now let's move on to the next round of foolishness, and that's the news. So, John.
All right. Take it away. Our first news story. Toy Story 4 tops the box office in its opening weekend. Toy Story 4 opened in first place at the domestic box office. While not up to expectations and nowhere near record-breaking, the $118 million total makes it one of only three movies this year to top $100 million in its opening weekend, matching Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame. The film takes fourth place in openings for animated films behind Incredibles 2, Finding Dory, and Shrek the Third. Adding in the international ticket sales of $120 million, Toy Story 4 has brought in $238 million so far. So, by all accounts, another success for Disney. You know, I mean, what expect them to break records every movie they put out?
I mean, I think they were hoping for it with Toy Story, and so that's, if you remember back to my cold open there that I did, and I said the part about it maybe being a little disappointing. There are, like, Disney's expectations on it, I believe, were right around $140 million they expected on opening weekend. So for what they expected, they came in 20-ish million, a little bit short. But that being said, it's also hard to really sit there and say $118 million, they might as well just close down Pixar at this point. Exactly. It's not going anywhere. It's a trash company, and it's absolutely awful. But
the other thing, too, is it has all summer. This is the beginning of the summer. It's going to just be a juggernaut all summer long, bringing in money.
Yeah,
there's a lot of movies coming up, I mean, this summer that are out there.
There are, and you know, it's Disney's already had a great year with the Avengers, just Avengers Endgame.
Now are they doing a re-release? I understand there's going to be a re-release.
So we heard
Avengers. I'm sorry.
A re-release of the Avengers because it's about $38 million away from overtaking Avatar as being the number one grossing movie, and. They've basically adding like a deleted scene after the credits that I've heard today involves the Hulk, and then the opening I believe might have an introduction from the brothers who directed it. But I hope it makes it. It's so close that it would be cool to see it do that. But Disney is just dominating the box office this year because we're not even done yet. We got Lion King coming in July, Spider-Man. I mean, even though that's Sony, I'm sure Disney has some sort of investment in that somehow, but. And then to close out the year at the end, we still, I mean, there's Maleficent coming, but Star Wars, is the big one. And this is the last of the Skywalker movies. And I know Kevin already bought his advance tickets to see it.
I just think that something's going to take over all of it. The Downton Abbey movie comes out in September.
That is. Many people are looking forward to that. It's Toy Story does have a little bit of breathing room here because really the next big thing is The Lion King, and that's not all the way until July 18th. So basically from now until then, there's nothing really to stand in its way. And because there are some things coming out, but, you know, like Rhino mentioned with Spider-Man, but that's obviously going to attract a little bit of a slightly older audience that at least Toy Story 4 is getting. And besides, I don't think Secret Life of Pets is still cracking away at any money that Toy Story has the chance to make right now. Aladdin's still popular, but I think if you wanted to see Aladdin at this point, if you really wanted to see it, you probably
watch it on a plane.
Already done. Yeah, well, that's the perfect
way
to watch
it. Lion King.
Yeah, us too.
Bought my tickets for it already. I'm very, very excited.
Ferris, you want to see The Lion King? Yeah. Did you like Toy Story 4?
Crash.
He's looking at himself. Oh, you want to talk?
I'd like to have the mic, please. Thank you.
Did you like Forky? Okay, all right. I'll let go. All right.
This is his show.
I want my cat, my day, and I can be able to say, Incredible 2 is his day.
Incredible 2, okay. You want to see Incredibles 2? Okay.
I like how you were right. He had nothing to say until we got to Toy Story.
For those that don't know, Ferris has Down syndrome, so I'll try to decode.
But we got there, Incredibles 2 over Toy Story 4.
And he's looking forward to Downton Abbey Endgame.
Exactly. So I know Rhino had some thoughts about Toy Story 4.
I sure did. Oh, did you want me to share
them? Want you to be honest.
All right. So I'm not saying – I think the movie was a good movie by itself. It's a nice movie, whatever. I think I actually hated the last few minutes of the movie. I didn't feel like there was any moment during the movie where I was like, oh, this movie proves why it deserved to be made. Like, oh, this is why they made the movie. It feels like an epilogue on the end of a story. And the reason why I say this is because I do think Toy Story 3 was a triumph of a movie. I don't think it was just like a good movie. I think it was a great movie. And I remember sitting in the theater watching it, and it wasn't even completely over yet. And I thought this movie would have been phenomenal. The script is phenomenal just by itself. And then using this animation with these characters to tell this incredible story. It had so many things that were working for it. And then we have this movie, which it's none of the Toy Story movies are bad movies at all. I love them all. And I just put this one maybe right next to Toy Story 2 for me, where I also felt when I saw Toy Story 2, I was like, oh, good movie. But I don't see the point as much. You know, like, it didn't really have that oomph. I don't know how to describe it. I didn't have a massive emotional impact. And I do understand that people have had an emotional impact at the end of the thing. But the thing they're reacting to, I was kind of like,
I don't know.
Without a spoiler, yeah.
It wasn't
a tearjerker for me.
Like, I went into the movie and I told everybody I was seeing the movie with. I was like, I hope you're ready to watch me cry a lot. I've heard people cry in this movie, and I'm going to cry a lot. I didn't cry a single time. I was really disappointed in my emotional
state. Somebody puts fork in the dishwasher, don't they?
In the microwave.
It's trash.
Yeah, actually, I completely agree with that. Coming out of it, it felt like a spin-off. That could have gone like straight to DVD or something.
Well, Craig made a point that he said to me that I think is a valid one.
It felt so they did the two specials, the one for Halloween and then the one for Christmas, and it felt like they took they had an idea for, okay, well, this one's going to happen in the summer and based slightly around a carnival, and then they started throwing extra ideas onto it, and then decided what the twist was going to be at some point along in the process and said, okay, now we can make an actual full-length movie out of this. And whereas in the main bulk of it feels like, especially with the antique store, now, I'm not giving away spoilers here, but there's portions in an antique store with a Gabby and other characters, and like that felt very much like some of the animated specials they've already done with it. So it didn't feel like a complete idea for
me. Well, and to go along with what you're saying here is that they kept going back and forth between the carnival and the antique store. And that's, you know what I mean? It was kind of like, oh, we got to go back in there. Oh, we're going to go back over here. Or we're going to go back there. And I did feel like kind of toward the end, I was like, this is getting a little tedious for me, that it doesn't feel quite as adventurous. It didn't feel as bold, and I'm gonna say this isn't a spoiler, but I felt like none of the other toys had anything to do the entire movie, and that kind of made me a little upset.
Yeah.
I feel like I am invested in Buzz Lightyear. I'm invested in these in Rex and Ham, and I think maybe they had like two lines, right?
Yeah, that's true. Like, I didn't even think about that.
I thought about it afterwards, where I was like, oh, these toys were in the movie too? Like,
well, they couldn't leave them out. You can't say we're going to do a Toy Story movie and then leave out, you know, Tim Allen and John Ratzenberger. And like, you just can't do that. So they had to still be in there. But it really was like the entire movie was just based around these new characters mainly. And they're all awesome. Like Keanu Reeves is Duke Kaboom. And like I said, Gabby with Rashawn. Christina Hendricks. That was awesome. I loved Key and Peele.
They were standout.
Their performance, their plush rush. I'm not going to ruin that for you, but that was like, that actually had me in tears laughing from it. And
Then
obviously Tony Hale as Forky was awesome too.
Yeah, I thought that character was great. I will say one last thing about this, but it to me felt like I was talking to Craig this morning that the motivations of the characters have completely changed from where they were in the first story, where like 1, 2, and 3, Woody preaches a certain type of ideology that is now different all of a sudden. And I didn't like that because it essentially is something, the action that gets this movie story started is the same action from the first movie, and that action with his character arc has already happened, been completed, and he chose a different route. And then I'm like, then this movie, I don't know. I just, to say, I don't want to put people down, it was a very enjoyable Toy Story movie, though.
Yeah, heard it here first. Rhino said Toy Story 4 is awful. Do not go and see it. Go see something else instead.
Yeah, I will.
I didn't see 2 and 3, so I probably wouldn't understand it.
You won't be able to follow the story.
Yeah. I feel like,
and if their motivations are different, I'm out.
Well, I would recommend 3. I don't think you have to have seen them all individually, but 3 is a pretty phenomenal movie. I think it's the best, maybe one of the best that Pixar's made, but I don't know. Wally's great too. I don't know.
Okay. Rhino recommends Late Night with Emma Thompson.
Actually,
and
I did see that movie and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, see that.
Yeah. It's good. See it.
That'll be next week's show. So, sorry. Okay. Amazing. Let's move on, John.
All right. Moving on to our next news story. The Simpsons are coming to the 2019 D23 Expo. The stars of The Simpsons, the longest-running primetime scripted show in television history, are coming to the D23 Expo for the first time ever this August. They'll be discussing the upcoming season in a panel that will be held on Saturday, August 24th at 10 a.m. in the D23 Expo Arena. Attendees can expect to see creator Matt Groening,
executive producer Al Jean, executive producer Matt Selman, and a whole bunch of other people, along with stars Nancy Cartwright and Yardley Smith, along with additional surprises that will include an exclusive Simpsons collectible item for everyone who attends the panel. Mm. The D23 Expo attendees will also have the opportunity to take photos with Bart, Lisa, and the rest of the Simpsons family. There'll also be an opportunity to win a once-in-a-lifetime chance to meet Matt Groening and the rest of the panelists during a one-hour autograph signing session of an exclusive The Simpsons mini poster right after the panel.
One hour, huh? All those people.
They'll be able to get it done.
It's not in a hall, though, right? It's in the floor.
The main one is Hall D23. That's where the big stuff happens. And then there is, what's the other name of the other one? Of course, I had this all in front of me, and then I moved away from it. You have, and then the D23 Expo Arena. That's where the Simpsons panel's going to be happening in that one. It's something that I would absolutely go see in a heartbeat because I am a diehard Simpsons fan. I just love the Simpsons. But it's taking place at the exact same time as the Walt Disney Studios presentation over in Hall D23. So this is where everything kind of gets interesting because first off, you know, Disney just bought Fox, so you kind of wondered how long before they really started roping even more Fox products into what they're doing. We knew Simpsons were going to be a part of Disney Plus, so that was already one step. But now to thrust them into D23 Expo right away,
it seems weird.
It's a very bold step.
Yeah,
I don't know how it'll resonate with the average Disney fan. I don't know if Disney fans are Simpsons fans. I don't know how much there's crossover on that. I think
I've watched it. I mean, I appreciate it, but I wouldn't consider myself a diehard fan.
A
lot of response to this story in the people in the comment section is that they understand why.
Yeah,
they would happen, but they don't think it's necessary to include the Simpsons.
It's actually very weird from my perspective because this is a Saturday panel. Saturday tickets have been sold out now, and 3-day tickets are sold out. So you went into this event knowing and expecting to see all the Disney stuff that you've seen before, and that's what you come to appreciate from it. But now they're opening up this panel that's going to appeal to a complete different audience that now, as far as I know, there's no way they can even access it at this point because
it's already sold. Yeah.
So it seems
like it might be just let's do something extra on this day to get the crowds to this location rather than people being mad that they didn't get into something else.
Right. If they can't get into it with the one they wanted, there's now something else.
Well, they have to split off because now they're not this year. We've talked about it on Disneyland, and we're going to kind of loop this in with a discussion here at the end. But before they always did the live action presentation with all the live action movies and then the animated presentation with animation, and that's straightforward enough. But this year they've combined it into one giant panel that's happening on Saturday at 10 a.m. So really, if you go to the D23 Expo specifically for these movie panels, then right there you have that one time. That's the time you're going for, and if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna put in the effort of waiting and all that, you're gonna make it for this one moment. But now, like, for someone like me, I would actually, if it wasn't for what we do and my passion for movies and stuff, I would have to actually think really long and hard about this. If I was going as a day guest and knowing that I could probably wait a lot less time and see the creators and such behind a show that I've loved for as long as I could remember, or go see a presentation on all these new movies coming out, I would have to actually really think about that.
Well, they also are baiting you with the merch and stuff that you're going to get. You know, with the poster, they're very upfront about saying, well, if you do come to this panel, you're also going to get something for free, you know, which is telling, I think, of it trying to be the thing that lures people away from
the other events where they're going to be upset if they don't get in or...
Yeah.
Do you think it's also a test to see how well they can actually migrate something like The Simpsons in with the Disney family? I know...
I think they took their biggest property that Fox has that kind of has that all four sector appeal to it. You know, it is a story that's been on for over 30 years that is about a family dynamic, and they were kind of like, okay, this is going to be our we feel like this is the most rounded in we can find. I'm surprised that they're not. I would be surprised maybe that Bob's Burgers wasn't wrapped into this too, because I feel like that one's even more family friendly than The Simpsons. But I don't know. I'm surprised because that's been on for like 10 years now, right? 9 years, I think,
give or take.
It's close, yeah. So, well, I'm sure they'll be represented soon. They have a movie coming out next year too, so that's what's weird to me.
They also have precedent for this. They stuck Star Wars in, and they've put Marvel in, so yeah. It's Disney fans seem to be a little elastic.
Yeah, the only thing I see for me on the Star Wars and Marvel side, definitely Star Wars more than Marvel, but Star Wars to me has more of a family-friendly appeal. I'm not The Simpsons. I feel like when I was growing up, it was looked at as going to ruin your minds if you watch this as a kid.
I just had this discussion 2 weeks ago when I was growing up. This will date me. The Ramones were considered subversive.
Right. Couldn't watch Bugs Bunny because it was too violent.
The Beatles were considered subversive. So I think The Simpsons has. I think society has decided this is now mainstream.
Well, yeah, and I mean South Park rolls along. And then that just makes Simpsons look like a child show, essentially, with the language. And then other shows doubled down on it in the future.
Elvis Presley couldn't be shown on television.
I mean,
so, things change.
The way his hips were swinging, I totally get it. It needed to be calmed down on, but
he said that reverentially.
His hips were a swinging.
You don't know that Craig always aspired to be the preacher from Footloose?
Let the boys dance. The boy dance.
Was that John Lithgow?
It was John Lithgow. Hear more about him more on our John Lithgow podcast.
Yeah, that'll be coming up later here. So besides that Simpsons panel, so just kind of run over it real briefly just for everyone wondering. I mean, it's we've talked about it a couple times, but I feel like we have to bring it up again. We will have another presence at the D23 Expo happening August 23rd to the 25th. In Anaheim, California. So we will have our booth set up that we have had third year running now. So it's we're kind of like doing the Goldilocks method with it. The first year we had a extremely massive booth that felt probably a little bit too big considering people were coming in and sleeping.
It was like
on
a living
couches.
Room.
Then the next year we moved to a booth that was just too small, and now we're hoping we found one for Pete that feels just right. So I think we've got that. So we'll be there, obviously. Come by and see us. We'll have random members of the team there throughout each day. And
we'll be recording shows too.
Yeah, we'll be recording stuff. Working on a setup where Pete will be able to go live, like on Facebook or anything else that he chooses, with just the one easy click, and he'll be able to air his grievances that he has as they pop up with it. And, you know, hopefully there will be giveaways more. We're working on some cool photo ops and stuff. So if you're coming to the convention, please obviously stop by and check us out. We'll let you know where we are once we know and the convention's actually happening. And but beyond that, so talking about the schedule that's happening, we already talked about the legend ceremony that will feature Wing Chow, Robert Downey Jr., Jon Favreau, James Earl Jones, Bette Midler, Kenny Ortega, Barnett Ricci, Robin Roberts, Diane Sawyer, Ming-Na Wen, and Hans Zimmer. That'll be happening on Friday. So I know Kevin wishes he could go just for Bette Midler, but he's seen her up close and personal.
He's touched
her.
I've
never
touched
mind.
Her.
Yeah, you don't care.
Twice.
You've already had the
Whether
best of her.
Whether she wanted me to or not. Well, so before we go on, I just want to say something. If you want to come and hang out with John and I at that event at Give Kids the World with Paige O'Hara and Linda Larkin, we have just purchased my tickets, but Craig talked about The Simpsons.
Well, there you go. That's that update on there. So go and hang out with them. Disney Plus presentation will be happening at 3:30 on that Friday, and hopefully they'll be talking about stuff like the Lady and the Tramp movie, The Mandalorian, Rhino's most looking forward to movie coming up, High School Musical, the musical, the series. I guess that's...
It's a series.
Yeah, it's a series. I know. I'm one of those old people now where I just call all TV shows movies.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta watch that Chernobyl movie on the HBO.
What's a rerun?
The Game of Thrones movie. On Saturday, I already mentioned it, 10 a.m., it's the Walt Disney Studios presentation panel happening, covering all the movies that Walt Disney Studios will be showcasing, as well as the Simpsons panel happening at the exact same time. And then Sunday, the big panel at 10:30 is the Disney Parks Experience and Products presentation, starring Bob Chapek.
What time did you say that one was?
That's at 10:30 on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So nice and early. You have to get your coffee while you're waiting for it to get all hyped about everything coming with Disney Parks. So any panels you're looking forward to see, Rhino?
Oh, always the live action one. Yeah. Or not live action now. I guess the movie one is my sweet spot right there. I don't like sleeping in the inside of the convention center, so I would love it if they could somehow enforce the no waiting overnight rule. It would really make my life a lot easier, because last time we had to get in line at like 7 p.m. and I didn't like leave that convention center until like the following night at like 9 p.m. or something like that. So gross.
That was the policy at Star Wars convention. You couldn't
stay, no sleeping.
No, you couldn't stay overnight. So if people even tried to get into a queue outside, they were
good. That's I think that's what they should do. I think they shouldn't, because those people are the ones who ruin it for everybody else. Like, just say it starts at 5 a.m. and that's what time you can line up, you know?
I know something, and I don't know if this is public knowledge or not. I might be giving something away about
D23.
What?
Secrets.
It's just secrets. They're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Little Mermaid. And I believe, isn't that true?
The movie was 89, actually.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jodie Benson's going to be there.
It was sent out at least in a press release just today. That'll be happening on Sunday, August 25th.
I know things.
At 10 a.m. at the D23 Expo Arena, yeah, with Jodie Benson herself.
And Jodie asked if Kevin and I and Pete were going to be there, and we said Kevin and I are not, but Pete's going to be there, so maybe she'll stop by the booth.
That would
to
be
say
awesome.
Hi to you guys.
I mean, you guys still have time to change your mind.
Yeah, we do.
I know it's not happening, but you still do.
Go ahead. So, here's the deal. There's fun things to do there, and there's stuff I would love to see. I am not of the age or the weight to wait in line and sit on the floor and do all of that crazy.
And I'm still in crisis counseling from the first one.
But, I mean, it's just, it's not, you know.
August is a busy month for us. I mean, yeah, with the Dreams Party, right, and then D23, it's a busy month. Right, Ferris?
Yes. Well, he keeps your schedule.
No, yeah. I totally get it.
I mean, it's, you know, it's exhausting whether you're working it or not, whether if you're just the guest going to it. It's crazy. Yeah. So it's just not, I don't want to do it.
And there's no more, you don't have to wait line passes left available, is there?
There's no more sorcerer things and front of the line things. Now, if Disney would invite us like they did to Star Wars convention and gave us special passes.
Right. And as for sleeping on the floor, whether inside the convention or outside the convention, that's not going to happen.
Our air conditioning went out for 6 hours. You should have seen what happened at our house. So waiting, sleeping on the floor is not an option anywhere. So what else is going on? What are you excited about?
Those are the big ones. So I'm excited, like Rhino said, for the Walt Disney Studios presentation. They also said in that email that Pete Docter and Jennifer Lee, who have kind of stepped up as the heads of their studios after Lasseter moved on, they are going to be taking care of the animation stuff. So I love hearing Pete Docter talk anytime I've heard him. He's a genius man. So I'm excited about that.
Is he the director of the new... Isn't he have something coming out that was just announced too? Is he directing one of the new movies? Soul, that was it. Okay.
Soul, yes.
That's, are you guys interested in that CNN special that's coming out? The movies?
The movie? I am.
We saw a preview for it. We're excited about it too.
I would also like to say that some of my favorite things that happened at the D23 that I went to were not big events. I got to meet Ed Asner.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. I also got to hold, there was an art dealer as one of the vendors, I got to hold an original Mary Blair artwork and couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
But I got to hold it.
The vendor expo is really cool because there's people there with such unusual stuff that you would never get a chance to see or touch.
I saw the original artwork. I'm going to get the name wrong. Something TikTok Boom. It's a Disney short. But the original Imagineer artwork was for sale.
Yeah.
Plink, plunk, boom. Somebody's going to correct
whistle.
Me.
Whistle.
Toot, whistle, boom.
I'm going to screw up the order and everyone's going to yell at me.
I know.
Kevin's already.
But you know what I'm talking about?
I get it, yes.
But that original artwork, the original drawing that was the basis of that, was for sale. So I got to see what I thought were treasures.
Toot, whistle, plunk, and boom.
Did someone already correct us?
No.
You came up with it. Toot, whistle, plunk, and boom.
Toot, whistle, plunk, and boom. So, no, I think that's, you're kind of right on that. It's a lot of the best discoveries at D23 Expo are not the big panels per se. It's the ones that you just kind of, either in panels, the ones that you just kind of randomly wander into and end up liking it, or just wandering around the showroom floor because you never know what you're going to see with it. Right. So, I would agree with that.
And to be honest, my interest in Disney is more in the history than the movie announcements.
Stuff coming up,
it's just it's not my wheelhouse. But walking around and getting to do that stuff, I thought was really cool. I had a really good interaction with Ed Asner. He did something that just amazed me. I waited in line and I paid my $25 to get an autograph, and everybody in line was because he was Carl and up. I was old enough, and I said, Mr. Asner, I'm not here because of Up. And he looked at me and he goes, I know what you're here for. I said, what am I here for? He goes, you're here for Spunk. And if you're old enough, it's a line from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He tells Mary she has Spunk, and he says, I hate Spunk. That's it. He was exactly right. So you never know what you're going to find. I'm done. That was it.
And wasn't also like Corey Feldman there or somebody?
And Barbara Eden. Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke. Rhino met Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, 2015. Dick Van Dyke. Yeah. That's what I didn't feel like there was a moment or anybody in 2017 I saw like that. So, but it's like what you said. Yeah, you never know. Like, I have that memory now. You have that memory with Ed Asner. So I'm like,
you kind of can't plan moments. They kind of just happen. So, although Corey Feldman did sit there in a hoodie and dark sunglasses and put his head down on his arm.
And no one was there to sign.
Ed Asner was $25. Dick Van Dyke was $100. I think Barbara Eden was $50. Corey Feldman was $10.
I think he was paying people.
Got his. I like the Lost Boys. Yeah.
He would have been so excited to see you.
I love the Goonies. Why don't we just keep naming other random...
Stand by me. Corey. Come on.
That's... Grim. And I know you were about to ask. Corey Feldman was the voice of Copper.
That is what Copper. I was going to ask, and thank you.
So, okay, I think that's enough on D23 Expo. Let's move on to Rapid Fire. I'm going to start with John.
Excellent. All right, so my Rapid Fire is new and is old and not so rapid. So, you know, it's great for this show. I know this has been open for a while, but Kevin and I just got a chance to experience the new Ticket Center in Disney Springs. It's across from the guest services building, and we had to go, and I had to get my annual pass that I renewed, and Kevin had to renew his annual pass. And it was a surprise to us, so it was exciting to see it. A couple of things I thought was really cool. We went to the guest services building by mistake and said we're here to get tickets, and they said, oh, you have to go to the new ticket center, and the guy like put us in his system. And when we walked in, the girl said, oh, you're John and Kevin to get your tickets. So that was neat. And I think it's great to have a place where to take that function out of the guest services building, because there's always problems with magic bands and problems with tickets. So it's nice to have that place to go to in Disney Springs.
I agree.
So do it. Go for it. It's, again, across from guest services between...
Nick Cesara
and Blaze, sort of between the two in that area. So very easy to get into, for sure.
We had lunch at Frontera Cucina.
Yeah.
That was a first time for us.
It's a good place.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, Rick Bayless is very talented at what he does. Mm.
It was very good. We enjoyed it. The problem is, I think you can go and have really good Mexican food for like $5.
We go to Tijuana Flats, which is kind of unbeatable. And for the two of us, we can have a feast for $25 with our annual pass or DVC discount, whatever it was, with two drinks, one Diet Coke, one appetizer, and two entrees. It was $100.
So that's a lot for Mexican food. And it was very good. We enjoyed it. It was delicious. But I think that...
And the best chocolate cake on property, and I'm willing to wrestle with anybody who wants to disagree.
The habanero chocolate cake. Have you had it?
Ancho chili chocolate cake.
I haven't had it. But I would love that. I like spicy and chocolate together.
The interesting thing was... John doesn't eat spicy stuff. There was just enough spice in it to make you keep going back for more. It wasn't hot in any way, but the spice rested on your tongue.
I love spice in chocolate. I do not like spicy, I do not like fruit in chocolate, though. That's where I draw the line.
They had candied orange peel on top. That was actually really good.
I mean, like, we're talking threads of it. Right. It wasn't...
You could kick it off if you wanted.
If you didn't want it. Yeah, it made a nice... I liked it. I think it's the best dessert I've had at Disney property.
I'm hungry now.
Really? I will say this, though, about the problem with Disney Springs is it's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to food. So it's hard to go and plunk down $100 on Mexican food when there's other options there.
We were going to go to Polite Pig, but it was 96 degrees that day, and there was a line, and the only seating that they were offering was sort of outdoors. So we... picked a restaurant based on your
I would not have been a polite pig at the end of that. I would have been an angry, sweaty pig is what I am.
Fantastic.
Immediate entree, immediate entrance, and air conditioning were the top of the list.
Excellent. All right. You want to talk That's about? It for my rapid fire.
Thank you, John. Yeah. Kevin?
Mine is new and rapid. I announced two Diz Dreams exclusive backstage magics for 2020. One is in July 5th, and one is October 25th. The October 25th date has sold out completely. I have a full group going. I still have about half of the space, a little less than half of the space available for July. So if you're sitting on the fence, it's time to get off
the fence. There you go. Get off that fence.
Kevin at DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com.
Get up and make it happen.
Get on your feet.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. Philip?
So mine is food related, which I'm a fan of on property always. And it's that the Refreshment Outpost in Epcot has a new menu. It started June 21st, and they have a Nigerian meat pie, a No Worries panna cotta, and a Savannah smoothie. So this is the place like back in Africa. It's between China and Germany, I think.
Yeah. What's the panna cotta? What flavor is that?
It has,
I don't know what's panna cotta with you.
Raspberry, papaya, and mango panna cotta with the cookie crumble base and a Lion King white chocolate.
There you go.
Everything sounds awful.
John hates jiggly meat.
It's a jiggly dessert.
Jiggly meat? What is jiggly meat?
Yeah, jiggly meat's pretty bad, too. Which oddly was my nickname in high school. Jiggly meat. But yeah, I mean, mango and papaya and just, you know, stop it.
I would do the meat pie.
Yeah, I would try the meat pie.
What kind of meat?
It doesn't goat? Say, but I think it's ground meat.
Nigerian
meat.
I wouldn't assume goat.
It's a Nigerian prince who makes it.
And if you don't send him money, he won't send you your meat pie.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you, Philip.
Yep.
Corey.
All right, Mears is now partnering with Uber Taxi at Orlando International Airport. Guests accessing the Uber app will now see a taxi alongside Uber XL, Uber Black. Uber Taxi will be available outside doors 14 and 20. The rates are the same as standard Mears taxi rates. Just use Uber instead. I mean, why get a taxi?
Why are you making that face?
I'm not a fan of Mears. Yeah, that's why.
Right, Ferris?
Yeah, neither Ferris. Is Ferris.
Yeah,
Ferris
sure.
He knows.
Preach, Ferris. Knows.
Ferris, you hungry? What do you want to eat? Tacos?
I starving.
You're starving? Okay, me too, buddy.
Let's wrap this up. Come on.
I'm starving too, okay.
Thanks, Corey. Rhino?
Okay.
Keep in mind that Ferris is hungry. Before we start dissecting movies.
Mine
again.
Is about food too, unfortunately.
Okay, good.
Sorry. The Oasis Canteen at Disney's Hollywood Studios has changed its name to Epic Eats. This might already be out of date, but they're saying that Oasis Canteen is now Epic Eats. If you don't know where this is located, it's right outside of the Indiana Jones stunt show. And the location and menu both remain exactly the same as they were before, with freshly made funnel cakes and ice cream floats. But now I read a text from Jackie this morning that says they think they're making a more permanent location for this in another area, and then that will be called
Oasis Canteen, so I don't know why I read this, but I did.
Okay. That would have been something to discuss before the show happened.
Well, I only like saw it while we were doing the show, so...
Hey, you got it. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to wrap up the show here with just a little bit of fun. I talked about it in the beginning that we're going to talk about some overrated... No, I don't know why I said that. I already forgot my text on it. Overlooked and underappreciated attraction. So this kind of stemmed out from an article that we had on our site, I think, earlier this week, where someone wrote a long... I don't have her name in front of me. I apologize. She wrote like a soliloquy to the Country Bear Jamboree, which Corey should know her name off the top of his head, but
yeah, we only have like 200 contributors.
Yeah, but he should know that. But you know, and I'm sure that came with the rumors that have been going around about Country Bear Jamboree seeing its end to a new Toy Story show. But
boo.
We're not going to get into that. That's not for us here. But
it was written by Shannon Griffith.
Yeah, so I'll make sure to have a link in the show notes page so you can see her thoughts on. I guess his or hers. I'm not sure if Shannon is whatever Shannon is. But essentially, yeah, a love letter to Country Bear Jamboree that is about how it is overlooked and underappreciated. And that's something I've been saying for the longest time in regards to Country Bear Jamboree. I feel like everyone that I know just stopped caring about it one day. And
for a while, though, I've always loved it. However, for a while, though, the sound quality was so bad.
It was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to get bad again. I'll be honest. Even after, like, the last time it went through a refurb, I walked in the show, and it was still hard to hear everything. Granted, a lot of times I sit in the back row because if I want to take photos or video, anything, I don't want my camera light up in the front, like, for my screen. So I sit all the way in the back. I'm sure that has a big impact on it. But it is... It is the funniest show.
I think it's hilarious.
Anything.
I crack up laughing.
It is so, so dirty and just in parts. And
all the guys that turn me on turn me down.
I know. And it just, tears will be the chaser for my wine. Like,
the other guy, he's thinking about the blood on the saddle. And you're like, you're like, what happened there? What's that full story?
Yeah. A very, very old video that I shot on my first DSLR that was like, I think 720, and it was just awful. So we need to do it again sometime soon here, especially
cool down spot. Goes.
Oh no, it's like my favorite spot.
My cousin came to visit with his girlfriend for a day, and she hadn't been to Disney in about 10 years. He's only been once in his life, and that was about 7 or 8 years ago. And so I was with them in the park for a little bit that day, and I, you know, took him on, and I was expecting them to be maybe the more he was when he was a little younger. So he's about 23 or 24 now, and he loved Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, I was surprised. Like, he loved everything about it. And then we went into Country Bear Jamboree, and he's like, this might be the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And I kind of was taken back a little bit, because I thought his reaction was going to be like, you know, the younger kid where they're like, why am I not being thrilled right now, you know? And the sound, I will say the sound was actually pretty good, better than it was my previous time I had gone in there. So I had like a really good showing of it with a good group of people that were really into it. And I love that show.
I just worry people avoid it because they've seen the Country Bears.
The movie?
The movie.
Yeah.
You mean all six of them? The people who went to see the Country Bear movie?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I rented it from the library recently to watch it for another podcast that I listened to, and I forgot how horrible it was.
A Toy Story movie, a show doesn't fit in Frontierland.
Well, it's supposed to be like in the 50s where like Woody, what his TV show was like a marionette TV show or something, and they're trying to say it'll be like an old marionette show or something.
No.
Yes. No, I agree with you. No.
But regardless, I don't want to take all her glory for her Country Bear Jamboree love, but I think we all have at least one attraction that we feel like is overlooked or underappreciated, so I want to find out from everyone. So I'm going to start with Corey. What's your overlooked, underappreciated?
I love Carousel of Progress, but I think a lot of people just pass it by because it's not a ride. it's a show, but I think Carousel of Progress.
I love it,
and
too.
In the future, you know, they have typewriters and fax machines. That's a little hard.
But there's no doubt that the final scene can be updated, but you know, it's kind of, we are in that scene now.
Well, they also need to rehab that, because the last time I wrote it, all you could hear was and that was the sound of the theater spinning. So it kind of drowned out everything
sometimes
else that was
in. Sometimes it stops like halfway through a scene.
Right. So you're in a time warp. It just needs, it needs love.
It does. It deserves it.
I agree.
Yeah, too.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. No, and I think it's not, I feel like it's one of those attractions where Disney fans have at least a little appreciation for it, but if you're an average guest, I doubt you actually walk up to it and go inside.
There's also nothing to draw you into it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's different when you see a roller coaster going, or you see, you know, your favorite character there. It's, you know, Carousel of Progress is kind of nondescript.
Yeah. There's nothing. It's tucked back there. I mean, you go to Tomorrowland, you're like, okay, I'll do space.
It doesn't even look like it might even be open.
And a lot of the times it's not.
I know this is going to sound a little sacrilegious. I do. This is definitely one of my favorite Disney attractions, but I think it could do with literally gutting the entire thing out, combining some of the older scenes together to make way for, like, if they want to keep that 80s scene, make a new future or something. But I would love to see, like, you're talking about make it a draw. Well, put the most advanced animatronics that you can in there then. Let's mm-hmm. do it all. I'm not saying change the recording or anything. I mean, you'd have to alter it a little bit, I guess. But I would love to see it if they, like, really went in. And maybe it even was an ode to that, where, like, it started with the older animatronics and moved into the advancements of them.
Or maybe started in the 50s now.
Yeah, something like, you know. Just don't get rid of it. I will
change.
Yeah,
don't get rid of it.
Yeah.
No, you heard it here first. Rhino wants them to inject more Disney characters inside the Carousel of Progress.
Replace the brother with Stitch.
Starting with Moana.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that makes
you like.
Kevin, what about you?
What about me?
What do you think? What's your favorite overlooked or underappreciated attraction?
For the last 40
my favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World is It's a Small World. And I think it gets a really bad rap. And again, I think it's the same thing. It's not a roller coaster where you sit on a motorcycle. You don't get to ride a banshee. It's not scary. However, it's charming. It's history. And I think if you're going to the Magic Kingdom only for those thrill rides, there are better places to go.
Yeah.
If you're looking for roller coasters, I would tell you to go an hour away and go to Busch Gardens. They have a whole bunch of roller coasters. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're looking for, that's not what the Magic Kingdom is to me. The Magic Kingdom to me is something for every age, for everybody. So if people are bypassing Carousel of Progress or It's a Small World to go to the new super fast thing, I think you've spent way too much money to come to Walt Disney World. I think those things are available at other places.
To wait 600 minutes.
Right.
I feel like too many people just, like, kind of latched on to, like, oh, It's a Small World. It's such a repetitive, boring, awful song. I think they latched onto it, and it's not actually how they feel.
And the song's going to stick in your head? Sorry, it's a perfect song.
Yeah, it's, I mean, these are the same people who are driving around listening to Taylor Swift, like, hey, oh, no, I'm going there. So,
like, hey, you need to calm down.
Or that Havana Na 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 song.
Or Corey's new favorite song. What?
No, Ferris's is Old Town Road.
It's yours.
You like that song, Ferris, Old Town Road?
I think in my opinion, and people are going to tell me I'm too nostalgic, I think going to the Magic Kingdom is an experience that has a lot of layers to it. If you're going in and running to Pirates and Haunted Mansion and only that, I think you're missing the charm. I think you're missing the fun. I think you're missing the artistry of the Magic Kingdom.
We never miss It's a Small World when we go. We always do it.
My house is filled with It's a Small... I was in the World of Disney the other day, and they have jewelry in the center of the aisle, and they have three cast members sort of working this little tiny display, and I found a sterling silver necklace, which is the clock face from It's a Small World, and I bought it. We have a little collection of tchotchkes at home, and I added that to that. So it's a personal favorite. I just think if you're missing a lot of what's available if you bypass everything.
What about you, Philip? Overlooked, underappreciated.
Yeah, my favorite would probably be The Seas with Nemo and Friends. I feel like that doesn't get the attention it deserves.
Which part of it?
Yeah. Right, so not just for the ride, but I just think it's so cool that it lets you out into the aquarium. I'm a sucker for aquariums, the animals, and I just think it's super chill in there. It's air conditioned.
The best audio animatronics are in that giant tank. That shark looks so real.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the manatees, the dolphins. I mean, I just think it's a really cool spot. That's probably my favorite area in Epcot, actually. Yeah.
I'd agree. It's been a long time since I've done Turtle Talk, but I used to... Rhino's making a stupid duck face back there or something. I used to think it was fun. So I just haven't been back there. I always felt weird going in just by myself.
Two adults going into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's like they put all the kids down front, but it's like I want to be close to the action too.
I want to sit with the children.
But and then you
it's
have to go and
Michael
make it
Jackson.
Weird. the thing about Turtle Talk that I like is that unlike Monsters Inc., where Laugh Floor, where it's the same technology, but there's like just it's the same show every single time with just a slight variation.
There's too many people. Yeah. To make it a cool, different show every time. Where Turtle Talk is more intimate.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it more times over and over again. Allows for more repetition.
I want to go back. I want another turn.
Okay, go.
I think overlooked in Epcot is the experiences where you go into one of the pavilions and kind of get lost. There's a couple of places, Morocco, mm-hmm. Germany. If you're back in Germany and look around, you really can't see Spaceship Earth. You can't see anything else. It's more of an immersive experience. And I think those are overlooked. A lot of that because it's time to move on to the next thing. And I think that's a lot of, again, I come from a time when I really thought that was the coolest thing because I never thought I would get to see places... Yeah. That Epcot offered, and that was... Is he making faces at me, too?
No.
Oh. Because I'll take him.
I completely agree with you, actually, because I do... You said Morocco, and that's one of those places where, honestly, I didn't even know part of the back of it existed years ago, and you're like, there's a whole marketplace back there, and I think that's one of the coolest things.
There's a whole photo op, too.
Yeah. Favorite photo op. But I think it's just one of those, like Kevin said about the Magic Kingdom, it's part of that artistry to the storytelling that you kind of, if you're only there for the next coaster that's whatever, then you're kind of missing out on that storytelling and that appreciation of like how this was built. You know,
that's
how this
really
was made,
well,
you know?
Put.
Yeah.
It's the storytelling, and that's what Disney says they're about.
Yeah.
He gets one every show.
I've decided that I'm going to go. After every person.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rhino.
I want to go again.
So, I mean, you guys said a Country Bear Jamboree for me, for sure. I mean, Carousel Progress, 100%. For me, one of my favorites that I do feel like is underappreciated, I would never feel like anybody's talking about one way or other, is I love Dinosaur. I was never a roller coaster kid when I was younger. I was afraid of heights, and Dinosaur for me is one of those rides where it's a little more exciting than than I love Pirates, I love Haunted Mansion, I love those type of attractions, but this one gives you that thrill. But I love dinosaurs, and I've always, like, Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies, so I've always loved time travel. So you put the two hands together. And I think it's great, but I also think there's a lot of really cool animatronics. I love the car that you're riding on, and I will never not get this little giddy, nervous feeling when the Carnotaurus starts to run toward the car. Because you think he's just standing there, and the car's just frozen, and it always has that little extra movement where it starts to come forward. And I love watching people who have never done that ride. I love seeing that experience for them. So, I feel like it's underrated.
And you're allowed to have that feeling.
I am.
I think it's appreciated just the right level.
Feelings are validated.
Middle.
Yeah. You already got your one with World Showcase. You don't get another.
Oh.
But, okay. John?
All right, you're leaving the most controversial for last.
Yeah.
Are you? All right, here we go.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, it's gone. And I think it's gone because of the reason that people didn't appreciate it. And that's Stitch's Great Escape. I thought that was the most underappreciated attraction at Walt Disney World. It had every element of storytelling. It had the best animatronic. It was a completely immersive experience.
Did you like Alien Encounter?
I liked Alien Encounter, except I thought it was too dark. I thought it was too. Another one for us. Agrees with me. I felt it was too scary for kids. I thought that Stitch was a little bit more light and put in a character that was a little more light. But I think from everything about that, from the pre-show to actually being in there, you were so inside Imagineering and what Imagineering is all about. And it's a storytelling.
You touched the back of your neck, you jumped.
Yeah, right. And the smells and the physicality of it and the sights and the things you thought you saw but you didn't see because it was all lighting effects. I mean, I think it's Imagineering at its best, so I'm sad that it's gone.
Now, I think if they take out Autopia, I think that's where the Toy Story ride should go. That's just me.
The Speedway
here. I mean, I can't argue with you, John. Based on the criteria, you have valid points.
Thank you
for what you say.
I appreciate
that. You didn't, what we're doing now.
I realized you didn't mention the chili cheese burps, though.
Well, again, that's part of the whole immersive experience. There's smells, there's sights, there's sounds, there's
I'm
touch.
Sorry, those chili cheese burps did not smell any worse than the water in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
We have a magic candle you could purchase that'll bring that.
The chili cheese burp.
The chili cheese burp.
Coming. Yeah. August.
I can create that myself. But that water in the Pirates of the Caribbean, people talked about how bad that smell was in Stitch's Great Escape. I'm sorry, it smells pretty bad in Pirates of the Caribbean, too. There could be a couple of chlorine tablets dropped.
I'm the person who thinks no smells that they can ever create are as bad as most of the people who you're passing by in the parks. Everyone be stinky. Everyone stinky. Well, there you have it. Those are what our team feels like are the underappreciated and overlooked attractions. I'll get it by next week. But those are those attractions.
Oh,
and
please let that us do
that's
it.
That's it. No, never again. I'm never hosting again. This is done. So, okay.
But what about Turiririms on Unlimited Travel? I can't do that again if you ask.
Next week. Okay. So now that's finally going to do it for this episode. We will see you again next week with another episode. But until then, everyone, remember, have a great week. See ya.